Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. I'm here with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
And I'm also here with Alex. How are you?
Very well. Very well.
Okay, so we're going to preview the NFL season right now. But before we do that, I just want to quickly talk about baseball. Last time I was on, I had pretty much written off the Mets season as being one to just wait for next year. Get everybody healthy, but the Mets have gone on an incredible run of about last 16, 17 games. They're 14-3. They've won five straight as of this recording. They've swept the Reds, and they're within a half game of the St. Louis Cardinals, who at the moment of recording are losing. And then they're a game they're tied with the St. Louis Cardinals right now because the Cardinals aren't playing. And then the Giants are playing right now. They're winning. But if the Giants lose and the Cardinals lose, the Mets could then vault up to the top spot in the wild card, the one-game wild card, and host it if the season were to end today or tomorrow. So the Mets have gone on an incredible run to get back into this. When I had written them off, and I think everybody else had, and everybody, you know, the team was just posturing for the following year, but looks like they're actually going through and doing pretty well. So that's a big deal as a Met fan.
It's been a real roller coaster.
It really has been for their season. You know, people injured and wondering what's going to happen with somebody like Cespedes. And then here you go.
That's because they exceeded expectations last year.
He did, especially in such a short amount of time. But at the same time, when he was in the offseason and nobody offered him a contract, and the Mets had written him off saying he's not coming back, and then all of a sudden, well, nobody's offering him a contract. Can we come back? He set all this up, and you know they lost their starting second baseman Neil Walker for the season, and Matt Harvey, and all these guys, these big names, and they've been working with a AAA team, and these AAA guys have actually been producing, especially since Terry Collins went on this rant of just like, you know, nobody can use an excuse, you know, these are Major League Baseball players, blah blah blah, and he got really fiery at a press conference, and since then they've responded, which has been a big deal. But I'm also excited because I looked forward to the end of the month, technically the beginning of October, in the American League East. Everybody's within four games of the top spot, specifically the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Orioles. The Yankees are on the fringe. So right now, as of this recording, the Red Sox and the Blue Jays are tied for first place, with the Orioles a game and a half out. And they're pretty much all three teams are guaranteed to make the playoffs, at least two of them making that one-game playoff. And I've looked forward to the end of the season, and I think it's the Red Sox and the Blue Jays play the last three games of the season against each other.
So it's like four people trying to get through a doorway.
It's true. But I'm very excited for the end of the season when it's going to probably come down to the Red Sox and Blue Jays on the final day.
Exciting.
Which then one of those two teams may have to play the following day in a one-game playoff against either each other or the Red Sox.
So you're looking forward to the drama.
I'm already ready for that, so I'm excited for that. I can't wait. That's going to be really exciting. So that's my baseball news and notes. Now we can get over to the football season. So football is going to start tomorrow as of recording. We're recording this Wednesday. Tomorrow, Broncos.
Super Bowl II.
Not as high stakes and a couple key members missing, but yeah, they're all there. Broncos hosting the Panthers. So going into the season, we've got some new rules that we've noticed in the preseason. They were talking about specifically the kickoffs. Now a touchback goes to 25 as opposed to 20, which I admit
that should help the over.
I guess because you got less yardage to go.
I mean, I think it's on teams. At least in the preseason, kicking deliberately short just to try and encourage the run back.
Yeah, because even the coaches aren't sure exactly what this means. But yeah, it seems like the desire from the head coaches as a kicker kick it high, kick it short, pull them out so they don't get the touchback, and you either have them fair catch it at like the 10 or the 15, mm-hmm. or entice them to run, which then you get into the reason why they moved everything back and forward is so they don't have these collisions.
I mean, if they really wanted to do that, just everyone starts to drive from the 25.
True, but then you don't get the excitement. Then you
take more, like, we don't get the excitement.
That's
anyway.
More than likely what will happen.
Right, but you don't. You then you have negated an exciting play as the kickoff.
I would argue they are already doing that.
Kickoff return.
Well, well I mean, that's when the ball goes out of bounds, that's not exciting.
No, of course not.
So okay,
you come back
so.
From a 3-minute commercial ad break to watch a guy kick it out the end zone to go to another 3-minute commercial.
It's
ad break.
It's like passing. Three things can happen, and two of them are bad.
That's true. Drop or an interception. But I heard that the league is going to be looking at like the basically the data of the first 4 weeks, and then either make a decision to change the rules on the fly, leave it, or figure it out.
It tells you how the game is not perfected or even mature.
Mm. No,
I mean it's constant rule changes.
I
constant.
Find it strange because coming from more established sports like. When was the last time there was a rules change in football, soccer, or any other major world sport, like baseball? Has that changed since? The introduction of challenges.
No. I mean, the rule used to, yeah, well, there's no rules.
Well, video.
And video, but that's to the judgment of a call.
Yeah.
The only
that's
thing
not
that's
changing the rule, it's just saying we can
right. interpret. We're saying you've added a fourth base.
Yeah, well, it's not a mature game. I mean, it reminds me of blackjack versus craps in a casino. I mean, blackjack, you know, you so many different rules you can have. You can have open face.
Right.
Where you see the cards. You can, you know, what, you know, yeah. what the payoff is on blackjack. But craps, I mean, is pretty much played the same way around the world.
That's a good point. Good point.
I mean, the only problem I have is you get, the one thing I will say for FIFA is they have a goal to keep the game the same at every level. So the game you
that's
see
true.
On the corner right. played by the kids in the park is the same that you see the professionals.
That's
game.
Very true.
The way you see, even just between college and NFL, the rules changes. It's like, wait, what am I? What
well,
can they do? What can they not do?
Be down by contact or just down without contact?
Yeah,
that sort
that's
of stuff.
Oh, the other rule that's not really major, but it's different, is that if you go out of bounds and come back to touch the ball,
mm-hmm.
it used to be, I think, a 5-yard penalty. Now right. it's loss of down.
Ooh, wow, that's big.
So that's huge.
Yeah, because at that point, you just need to stay away from the ball. And yeah. you can't even use yourself as a distraction because then now he's stepped out of bounds.
That is one of my favorite things on a football field, to see a ref just running around about his
helmet. Yes, he went out of bounds.
Just launch it at someone.
Now, didn't they also do something with the catch? I know this is your favorite, Alex. The what
process of the catch
I think
is the worst phrase in football.
I think
that needs to be shown.
I think they changed like what a ruling is, and I can't even tell you what it means. Just know it's probably going to be a problem.
Okay,
one.
Do the refs know? Probably not.
Probably not. They probably have to.
So we're going
to
be talking about.
Especially when somebody throws a challenge flag and say that wasn't a catch.
They don't have to know. Somebody in
New York
will tell you.
I do the call back to the New York studio.
Right, and then
I'm getting ready for it. We've got all the lingo.
And then Mike Pereira is going to come on and say, "Well, if it was me,"
and then after
it's done, be like, "I don't agree with this call."
It's like a retail store where they have to call corporate. You know, they can't deal with it at the location.
That's good.
It does diminish the refs.
So, new rules. We've got the new stadiums, the new Viking Stadium, which just looks like a glass palace, like a fortress of solitude. So much sunlight coming in, but I guess it keeps the cold out, so that works.
So they had a new stadium and a damaged quarterback.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, but yeah. So
they had a few needs to fill.
Yes, exactly. So new stadium, and then an old stadium, but it's new again, is the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, where USC plays their games for college on Saturday, and the very next day, the Rams are going to have to start playing their games there, return to their own stopping grounds.
I think it's
going to
take
Coliseum.
Me at least till week 8 to get used to calling them the other.
So how does the city treat it? Like their ex showed up, or like how does
no,
that go?
No, it's probably like the small percentage of Rams fans that are there are going to be, and then some of you know the famous people are going to go, like New York famous people go to Yankee games or something. Like, it's just
it's,
like, oh,
it's
we're
to
here.
Be seen.
Yes, of course it's to
it's
be seen.
The way
seen.
Boxing used to be.
Until the new, brand new, Taj Mahal of football stadiums is built in a couple of years. And was it Englewood, I forget. Wherever the Forum used to be.
And not the new one in Vegas for the Raiders.
No, which is potential. Although somebody pointed it out, a friend of mine, Peter, as a name drop. There was an article that he shared a link for about how basically the Raiders took the design, like they put out, this is what the stadium's going to look like.
Right.
It was the Rams' new stadium. They just changed all the logos to the Raiders side. It's going to look like this.
Just covered it up in Sharpie.
Yes, pretty much.
Just say yes.
Yes, pretty much that. Yeah, it's looking more likely that the Oakland Raiders will be moving to the Las Vegas, city of Las Vegas, and be the Las Vegas Raiders, which kind of works, if you think
about it. But how does it work? Because now I got 31 teams to bet on instead of 32.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
Well, they're not going to allow that.
Oh, that's very true. That's very, very true.
Maybe Larry the Legbreaker will have a line on that.
Chargers being the only team in Southern California now. Still in Qualcomm Stadium. Is it? What's it? It's not Qualcomm.
No, yes, it is.
Is this
it? Oh, I'm almost positive it's still.
But
Qualcomm
it's going to keep the bookies in business.
Yeah, of course, it's going to do well for them.
Well, when's LA getting a hockey franchise? That's the big. Las Vegas getting a hockey franchise.
Oh, that's coming. I think 2017 next year. They still haven't figured out a lot of the. Like they don't even know what the name's going to be and stuff like that. They just don't know. But it's supposed to be next season. Not this upcoming season, but the following season, 2017-2018 season. So we have that. We have some new head coaches in the league. Most notably, the Cleveland Browns getting Hugh Jackson, former offensive coordinator for the Bengals, former Raiders head coach, fired after Al Davis's death by Mark Davis to make a statement of, no, this is my franchise now. I'm not going to be the bumbling doofus my father made me. Pretty much, SI did a great article on him several years back, where it's basically like they used an example where Al Davis, like they were having a draft meeting, and Mark was kind of walking by, and Al called him and Mark, come in here, like who do you think we should draft? And Mark Davis was like, we should draft a wide receiver first, and Al just basically embarrassed him corporately in front of everybody,
right?
And just basically, like, Mark Davis was seen by every employee, including his father, as just a bumbling guy who just got a job because of his father. So when his father passed away and you have all of these loyal Al Davis lieutenants still around, he got rid of every single one of them, including the head coach, and said, this is my franchise. I don't have a lot of money, but I have this franchise, so I'm going to do it my way.
I think I've just got an insight into North Korean politics.
I think we've
sussed it.
Yeah, I think Stalin wrote the book on that.
I think you might be right about that. Another big hire was the Miami Dolphins hiring Adam Gase.
38 years old.
And I saw a thing. He started as like a draft, and he was never like a coach,
right?
Except in the NFL, like
he was a quarterback coach,
right? But in like college, he never was a coach. Right. He was always an assistant.
Well, at 38 as a head coach in the NFL, I mean, you got to skip a few places along the way to get there.
Yeah, so he was.
So do you expect something out of him?
If he can turn Tannehill around and get anything out of Arian Foster before his leg gives out, because every year Arian Foster goes down injured halfway through the season.
Yeah.
So unless he can get something out of Tannehill, and Jarvis Landry, maybe. I mean, if he can get Ndamukong Suh to care, then he's done his job.
Right.
Like
that's a big if. There have been more experienced coaches that have been wrestling.
I would say don't lay down with your head on the ground next to him.
No, definitely not. Ben McAdoo is the new head coach of the New York Giants after a long tenure by
Coughlin.
So now Ben McAdoo is going to try and improve a pretty good Giants offense and somehow...
free agency defense?
Yeah, I mean, Oliver Vernon and Harrison coming over from the Jets.
Snacks
Harrison. So they improved... they improved the defense personnel-wise. I don't know how well the overall unit has improved. Because I can't... Like, the last noteworthy defensive back the Giants ever had was Jason Sehorn. And he wasn't even that good, and that was at the turn of the century. So, I mean, until you have any... I mean, they're good up front, but that's about it on defense, I feel. Also in the division, Doug Peterson is the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
He of the Kansas City Chiefs, so they'll probably throw down.
He's Andy Light.
He might be. Mm. We'll see. I mean, Ryan Matthews is going to be very popular.
About 9 or 10 games, but he can't make the year, can he?
We'll see.
Not with the Chargers, he can.
No. Well, then Darren Sproles will take over.
Not with the Chargers, he can.
Speaking of the former Eagles, Chip Kelly is now in San Francisco.
Right, he's the mad scientist. What experiments are going to blow up there?
I don't know. Maybe Carlos is Hyde. If Carlos Hyde, I don't know. Because he's got, I think their best receiver is Torrey Smith, and that's not...
I'm wondering what year he's going back to college.
I think maybe
next year.
No, it's not going to be that. I'm going to say 5 years.
Wow.
I don't know if he'll have that.
I'd give you the over on that. I know. I think he'd
take the
probably
under.
Two.
Take the under.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Maybe two.
And then the Bucks had fired Lovie Smith, and now they hired Dirk Cotter, who I believe was the defensive coordinator for them. They were the offensive coordinator.
He was promoted,
He was promoted within the offensive coordinator, trying to continue building Jameis Winston, which last year he did pretty good. Mm. They've got great offensive pieces. Mike Evans, when he wants to show up. Doug Martin. Vincent Jackson, when he's healthy.
Right.
So we'll see how they do so.
Well, the problem is they have the Panthers in that division.
They have the Panthers. They have the Saints, which everybody's liking.
They are.
I've heard nothing but Drew Brees is going to have an amazing.
Well, we know the offense is like the Giants. You can depend on the offense, but what's the defense?
Drew Brees will
do?
Still throw 500 yards a game, and they still won't win.
Well, I don't know. It's a different year, so we'll see. And there's one less defensive minded coach in that division. So you know what? It might just work out.
Okay.
So that's happening.
Their running back core might be legit this year as well.
Oh, Muscles Hamster and...
what, for Tampa?
You're talking about the Saints.
I think Mark Ingram might be.
Mark Ingram's back. And, who's the other? No, well, they got rid of Kira Robinson. Who's the back? I forget the other back up there.
Who's with the Jets?
Kira Robinson's with the Jets, but he was the backup last year for the Saints. Right. And so, moving on to some player movement that has happened in the last week or so. Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback of the Vikings.
Non-contact
injury. He was scrambling, dislocated his knee. There's no film of it, which apparently is very good because players, apparently, when they approached him, would turn away in disgust.
All destroyed.
The non-contact ones are always the worst.
It's the turf monster jumping up and busting Vinny Testaverde's Achilles heel. So that's
the wear factor in the NFL.
Yeah. Mm. And he didn't... I don't remember him getting hit too much. I mean, he was a pretty...
He was not one of the ones that tends to put his head in.
No.
At least that's where I remember last
season. Because you also have Tony Romo down with another...
But he was the most ready, NFL-ready quarterback last year.
Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. He did well. They won the North.
I mean, he also
couldn't win that game.
One of the better weapons behind him.
Oh, Adrian Peterson, of course. So now, when scrambling and figure out, do we really want Sean Hill on a year that they
had?
The Vikings were very sure that they could make a deep run into the playoffs, and so they decided to trade for one of Philadelphia's many quarterbacks, Sam Bradford. In fact, their starting quarterback, which was probably the best that he left because they were upset when they traded up to get Carson Wentz. And then they had an awkward press conference where he was like, "Yeah, I'm happy to be back. No, I'm excited." So he was actually okay with the situation because he was the starter. But everybody talks about how Carson Wentz was going to start, whether it was week two, week five, week one, whatever. So he just made it easier. Get rid of Bradford to somebody else for a number one draft pick, which they needed because they traded one away to get Wentz.
Well, and they needed it. Not only just for football, but they're having the draft here next year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And
the draft.
Yeah, that's like having like the World Cup or the Olympics where you don't medal much.
Just don't turn up night one.
Right.
No, okay.
It's like the Winter Olympics in Jamaica.
That's a good point. So Sam Bradford now with the Vikings. All he really needs to do is hand it off to Peterson and maybe throw it a couple times. But he's not going to throw it 40 times like he used to.
Will he get more broken ribs in regular season than preseason?
He'll get hit once and I'll be it.
Yeah, it's probably... You're going to see Sean Hill very likely.
He seems... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have that, and we also have down in Dallas, Tony Romo, a broken back, another injury. Now it's the Dak Prescott coming in, drafty rookie out of Mississippi State.
His second year player, right?
No, he's first. Oh, he was drafted. He was drafted.
So I think that kind of helped Philadelphia make their decision. I don't think they want this guy to outshine their number, you know, while they gave up for him.
Well, right. If the not top 10 draw play that they tried to run, read option tried to run, and they both just kept it, is anything to go by, that's not a concern anyway.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. But I'm excited to see Prescott. I don't like the Cowboys. I'm really interested.
Well, I think the huge difference is Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott makes a big difference.
I'm expecting huge things out of this.
Yeah, behind both of those rookie players.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, a rookie starting quarterback, a rookie starting running back, behind an all-pro offensive
line. But this running
line.
Back can block blitz. I mean, he's
Ezekiel
the
Elliott out of Ohio
package.
State.
Yeah, I went the other way. I thought after Romo went down, I thought Elliott's stock went down a little bit.
I think
at least in my drafting,
I think
if I'm game planning, he's getting a load.
I think Dez Bryant, his stock went down a little bit. So, but we'll see how that goes out. Although Jason Witten, I say he's you're going to see a lot of Jason Witten.
Security blanket.
Of course, he was Romo's security blanket. Why not Prescott's? Right, and it only makes sense.
Right.
So those.
Well,
are
he's not Prescott's roommate, is he? There's a big difference there when he got to talk it over later.
Right. Well, that's it. You say that the Cameron Reed, the Washington
Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed. He was always RG3's security blanket.
And Kirk Cousins.
He got a lot less receptions in Cousins. Yeah. Still well. Well, he's still good.
Look how Mark Bavaro was for Phil Sims. I mean, it goes down the line.
Yeah, Dwight Clark and Joe Montana and all that stuff. It's true. So that's some of the movement in the new impact players sort of moving around.
And what about Murray?
DeMarco Murray in Tennessee. It's going to work out better for him there.
Look, he's rested.
He is, although... Derrick Henry is waiting in the wings.
Right,
he's big and he's powerful, and he got a lot of good looks in the preseason. So,
and their quarterback Mariota,
Marcus Mariota.
So, what do you make of them this year?
I think it better. Colts, I think, are taking a significant hit. Although Texans are up with Osweiler, and they love this guy Will Fuller, who's the second.
I'm thinking you
got to
like the Texans there. No?
Texans, you have to like
them. The amount of line players that have gone down for them, just. Right. I was really liking Lamar Miller for fantasy purposes, but with the amount of injuries they're having on their line, I can't. I think they're going to have trouble protecting people.
Yeah, but it seems like if Osweiler has all these targets to throw to, he'll be okay. He won't get hit too much.
Hopefully, he might. If anything, he'll be a bit like Ben, Big Ben. Just even if he gets hit, it's by much smaller guys.
True. Honestly, I think it's the Texans to lose and the Jaguars to possibly win.
And what do you make of Lux? Yeah, bounce back year. Think he'll smarten up or he'll be congratulating people that are putting him out of the game?
I don't know, because he did not. Everything I heard out of Colts camp was doesn't look good, not the same Andrew. Something's a little wrong. And they're like Frank Gore is their starting running back. Like I don't know if I necessarily trust that. Like,
but when he comes back and he sees they didn't do anything for him on the offensive line.
It's the Texans to lose.
Right.
So who are your surprise picks for this year, Dave?
Well, I'm going with one of the most popular surprise picks of the year.
Well, before we start that, so your surprise picks, what's your criteria for that?
You can't have made the playoffs last year.
Okay, so a team that didn't make the playoffs last year.
Right.
One from each league.
Right. I'm thinking it's the Raiders.
I like that. I think
I'm
so.
I'm liking them. They're really coming together. And
Cooper, Carr, and Latavius Murray. That's a good
try. They can play a little defense.
The big three. They can play defense.
You know, and I know they got, Denver. But that's
Denver's
a work
weaker.
In progress.
Denver's weaker. Kansas City is up in the air. You could go either way.
San Diego. Don't expect much.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Alex.
No.
Yeah.
It's okay. Sad.
So that's the AFC.
Those lightning bolts are like a little spark now.
It's true. On their way out, maybe, or stay. We don't know.
Phil Rivers will keep us doing something, hopefully.
Yeah,
that's right.
worst case, he's repopulating the whole West Coast.
Boy, is he.
I think the NFC was tougher because, I was tossed up between the Cowboys and then the quarterbacks down and the Rams, who I think we've proven that Goff is not
NFL
ready. So in that Wentz-Goff thing, I think you got to
pin one up for Wentz so far.
Wentz, yeah.
He looks, you know,
he looks more
prepared.
Ready. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going with the Cowboys because I think that much of the running back.
I agree with you.
I think they'll struggle a little on defense, but I think a lot of teams are going to do that this year.
I think so. Well, the Cowboys have always they haven't been good on defense since Barry Switzer was their coach, I think. Like, that was the last time. So, yeah. No, I think you're – I kind of like that.
I couldn't change anything in the Central because Green Bay, Minnesota, can't see anybody else challenging.
The Bears and Lions are not changing.
So
and
I wanted to say the Bucs, but I can't see them getting past the Saints.
No, that's tough.
Well, that is a division that usually flips the leader.
I think they haven't had back-to-back chances in like 20 years.
The Falcons might be fourth in that division.
Yeah.
Well, last year they were 6-1, if you remember.
Yeah, they started off big and then everything fell apart. Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones, who he's nursing a bad ankle, so Matty Ice, all that stuff. Mm. So we'll have to see where that goes. Alex, do you have any sort of predictions for this year?
I was thinking about it. So I think the Steelers might go far. Like, they've always, last couple of years, they've been looking really solid and then get tripped up late.
Right,
and I think they might go all the way. It really depends.
I think if Big Ben goes down, from what I saw in preseason, it's hopeless.
It's hopeless.
God, that guy was bad. Landry, is that his name?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
What a nightmare.
I think this might be the year they go the way.
Yeah,
that's my like day one making the final.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
At least from my fantasy drafts. I've gone heavy into Steelers, so I'm open.
Yeah, everybody likes them. When Le'Veon Bell comes
back. Top five team?
Steelers? Top five AFC. I wouldn't say top five overall.
It's a slight sleeper.
Yeah.
Better than New England? Or worse?
I think they have better players, but...
Considering that
organization always seems to do better.
You cannot count them out. They're like the Cardinals of football. But the Patriots, you know, there's so much going on. You know, of course the Brady stuff and Garoppolo going to be the starter for the first 4 weeks.
That's another new story.
I've mentioned Gronk being on the cover of Madden, which there's the Madden curse.
Yeah.
And
one thing I liked about...
What?
Garoppolo?
Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo. What's his first name?
Jimmy. Okay.
Jimmy G. One thing he does, which I see a lot of quarterbacks don't, is he looks off deep receivers.
Yes.
That is great sign of maturity.
Yeah, well, he's been sitting behind for a couple of years.
Because defense will follow that helmet turn.
That's right. He has learned from somebody pretty good. But I'm also wondering with this, who's it, Brandon Staak, their starting lineman that they trade, like, he got a concussion for the Super Bowl. Something happened. I forget the story about him, but he had, like, a concussion for their Super Bowl 2 years ago. And then, like, he was considering retiring, and then they traded him to the Redskins for a draft pick. He gets to the Redskins, and he fails a physical, even when he was saying, like, no, I was going to retire, but now I'm going to stay around. So he got sent right back to the Patriots. So something's going on there. I don't know what it is, but...
Patriots, like, misrepresenting injuries? Shocking.
The Patriot way, sitting in jail, Aaron Hernandez? I don't know. But I will say they got Marcellus Bennett from the Bears. Marcellus Bennett?
Martellus.
Because I didn't realize he has a brother, defensive player on the Seahawks. So now I'm starting... Now I'm like overthinking.
He's also
is it the right brand?
He's also a published author of children's books, which I discovered.
That's true. That I didn't know. So
when hitting doesn't hurt. What's the title of that thing?
When you see two of them, when you see two footballs, catch them at once, something like that. but there's that. So now they've got the two tight end set that they've wanted since Aaron Hernandez had left. So now they got Gronk.
Had left. Well, it's so kind of you.
What else am I going to say? Like, it's been said to death. But
to death.
Yes, I know. So that's how. So I don't know what to do with the Patriots and the Jets. Four quarterbacks. Why not? Let's have four.
What about Seattle?
Well, I don't. You know, no Lynch. So that's going to be interesting.
Word on Rolls is that he's not playing.
Yeah, Thomas Rolls. So Christine Michael is your new savior, Seattle. Russell Wilson's going to have a good year. I don't know how the defense is going to fare. I can see them falling back to the pack a little bit.
For the two games we saw of Michael from the Cowboys, he looked pretty good.
Yeah. No, he did well. So
the Cardinals are highly touted.
They're highly touted, but man, they had a bad preseason. I know it's just preseason, but like Carson Palmer didn't look good. Was it John Brown? Not the kicker. One of the Browns. Like, there's also two wide receivers on the Cardinals named Brown. One is John Brown. One is Josh Brown. Whichever the good one is, he got injured.
Was ranked 80, not 100.
Yeah, the one who was playing the last couple of years with Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald, he's injured. They don't know when he's going to come back. And then is David Johnson the real deal?
This is another reason why I think the preseason should be scrapped.
Fair enough.
Don't coaches need it?
No,
they know who their best players are.
But there's 53 roster spots. You can't just go, well, we're good at 48.
Great.
But not only that, you got a taxi squad.
That's true.
I don't even know what they call it.
If they just made it the first quarters of every game, I'd watch. Make it one game, I'd probably watch.
That's like video game stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, like where
you play big and it's 1 minute.
15-minute sprint. Go for it. 3-minute quarters. That I'd watch.
Fair enough.
Well, I'm not so sure the game's there for us.
Right. Sure. So, all right, let's quickly talk about week one. Dad, who do you like this week? What are some best bets for you?
Well, best bets. I mean, I'm going right away with the Raiders over the Saints. I'm not buying the Saints hype. I'm making my own hype for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And that's a pick 'em, so, you know, it's too early in the year for that.
Right.
So I gotta go with that.
Yeah.
I think the Jets are in trouble. They're home getting 2.5. That's not a good sign this time of year.
Oh, home dog.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm liking the Rams over the Niners.
So you like Rams?
The Niners are getting 2.5 again. That would be a Bruner.
Yeah.
It's too early for that.
So. No, I like the Rams. I like the Rams on the road. I think that's a good one. So you like Rams, Raiders, and Bengals.
Yeah, I do.
So it's three road teams you like.
Well, yeah, but I'm going on that.
I think that's a good idea.
On that angle, yeah.
Alex
and the Panthers, Broncos. That's going to be a great game. That game went from Broncos getting one. I mean, the Panthers getting one. Now the Broncos getting three.
Oh, I still have Panthers getting three, but you're probably right.
So that's Panthers, I reckon.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Broncos.
That's a big swing. But about this quarterback there, Simmons.
Yeah, we don't know. Trevor!
As long as we change it.
Trevor S.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best way there. Most accurate young quarterback, I mean, I've ever seen. This guy throws the ball away from the receiver, away from the defender, and he has to reach for it. And I'm loving that look, so I'm giving this guy some big-time props. Mm. So the quarterback to watch for me this year is him, and the running back is Ezekiel. So I want to see how they pan out.
I'm always worried about accurate passes.
Well, you can't coach it.
Well, because it's also how accurate are you going to be when you've got Sue chasing you down it.
And what are we talking, deep accuracy, medium-range accuracy, short accuracy? Because Chad Bennington is the most accurate quarterback in the history, but he never threw the ball more than 15
times. Well, there's very few accurate deep throwers. I mean, Roethlisberger's one. There's not a host of them.
No.
At that point, more comes down to the receiver trying to get it.
Right. Good point.
Well, that too. But, I mean, accuracy, I mean, you see, I mean, I saw Goff throw some horrible throws. I mean, you know, part of accurate, you know, is consistency.
Mm. Good point.
So, I mean, these things can't be coached.
No.
Yeah.
So, let's see what happens there.
Anybody you like this week, Alex? Or
I'm looking at all the sort of things I'd consider like a gimme, like Chiefs at Chargers. You got to back against your own team.
Pretty easy.
I reckon Falcons Bucks might be a good.
But that line's.
I look at what a good game is. So
that's a good game.
I'm curious to see what Falcons Bucks the line is.
So you would take the Chiefs, giving 7 to the Chargers.
Yeah.
Chargers Chiefs are home.
Yeah, I'd take Chiefs.
That's going to be a real tough game for the Chargers to even sniff at.
Yeah.
And Texans over the Bears.
Oh. I don't know. Actually, the Bears.
You're not expecting much out of the Bears.
Get rid
of Forte and you become better. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, they lost Bennett. They lost the best running back. Langford, good. best running back, best tight end, and apparently everybody's all over Alshon Jeffrey. It's like, no.
Not if you've got Jay Cutler throwing.
Yeah, no. No, that's not going to work.
What's the Bucs line against the Falcons?
About three.
Yeah, I take that, I think.
Falcons at home?
Atlanta.
Yeah. I don't know. Falcons tend to start strong, but I think the Bucs will probably take it. It really depends how.
No, I think you're right. Buccaneers doing that. Quickly over to fantasy real quick. Got three leagues this year. We have the Everman Sports League again. Alex is a part of that. My wife, several other listeners and participators. I also have my own personal league and then another separate personal league as well. The public league and then a group league with some friends.
A baron of sorts.
Yes. My big thing this week was Spencer Ware, because Jamaal Charles is down again. Mm. Spencer Ware is going to be the big guy. I picked him up in two of those three leagues.
Not Charles Kendrick West?
No. I think they said the timeshare is going to be like something like 17 rushes. They're projecting 17 rushes for Ware and like 8 for West.
What about Todd Gurley? Did he go high?
Oh, yeah. He went real high.
He was the number one or number two. Yeah.
The fantasy draft this year, for the first time, I think ever, was wide receivers. Wide receiver top. Because it's always every year, running backs are always on top. But now that it's such a passing league, you see so many high-end wide receivers. Beckham, Jones, Brown. DeAndre
Brown
Hopkins.
Number one.
Antonio Brown is, big. Des Bryant, all these ones. That wide receivers are now the ones you draft first, or the ones you look to. Like, I think the first running back was David Johnson. He was like 4 or 5.
I saw Gurley go a lot.
Gurley goes out. Elliott went very high. He went like 7 usually, his average draft position, ADP.
Mm. You can see him catching passes out of the backfield?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially with what's the guy's name? Dax?
Oh, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. He's going to be throwing wheels.
But yeah, Cam Newton was the best quarterback out there, followed by Breeze. That's the other thing, because Breeze.
I saw a lot of Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson was up there too.
But Cam could get you some rushing touchdowns.
Cam can
too.
Get you a lot. Cam can get you everything you want and a bag of chips. But I like Winston. He's one of my backups. I either got Russell Wilson, Drew Breeze in my leagues. Or Cam Newton. I got Cam in one. I got Beckham in a league. I got Amari Cooper, Jonathan Stewart. Another popular one I got was Greg Olsen or Travis Kelce. Mm. And I like this guy. He's a real, real sleeper. Tajay Sharpe, a wide receiver for the Titans.
And that's Shannon Sharpe's son?
I don't know if that's Shannon Sharpe's son.
Is there an E at the end of it?
Yeah, there's an E at the end of it. But in any case, he's a rookie, and Marcus Mariota is really talking him up. And he's supposed to be in the two sets with, I think it's Rashad Matthews, but everybody keeps talking about how Sharpe is going to be the focus. He's actually really going to be the first wide receiver.
From banking on Rashad Matthews most of last year, he's not going to deliver.
No.
Just in that third WR slot, just never. Apart from 1 week, and then never.
Yeah, it's just never going to work out, so.
I really banked on Latavius Murray in a lot of my leagues, like that sort of mid-level RB.
I agree. I think he's going to do very well.
I think a lot of defenses are now going to just key on Amari Cooper, and I think the space is going to be there for the running game.
I think there is. Latavius Murray is going to be a big deal on your Raiders idea. So I'm looking forward to that. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining me this week. Dad, pleasure.
Thank you.
Alex, you as well. Thank you very much. All right. Again, you can call us at 626-427-7678. 626-427-7678. Take care. Andrew, take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.